Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is Leslie.
Are we on?
I'm here in Chestertown.
Oh. Yeah, okay, let's get it started. I was waiting for some music to come. I'm sorry. This is Gary Jenkins. Welcome to the Gift of Freedom radio show. I'm a documentary filmmaker in Kansas City, Missouri. And
Hello?
And tonight I'm here hosting the radio show. Hold on a minute, I've got to get this feedback down. Okay, got it. And tonight we have with us Ms. Leslie Raymond from Chestertown, Maryland. Maryland, and she is a historic preservationist. Ms. Raymond, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your interest in the preservation of historic buildings?
Yes, I'd be glad to. And I think that our other guest, Joy Ellis, also joined us.
Oh, well,
is that right?
Okay.
Yes, I am. Good evening.
If you, Ms. Raymond, if you would introduce your guest for me. I don't have the deep particulars on her.
Okay. Joyelle Johnson is a member of our community and also an historic preservationist. And she is the designated executive director of the Grand Army of the Republic Hall once we get it restored. And Joyelle, do you want to just introduce yourself a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing?
Good evening, yes. As Leslie said, I have been working with her. I'm also a community member, and I volunteer quite a bit. I'm an avid volunteer, and I'm actually a second-year AmeriCorps member. So I'm AmeriCorps with Volunteer Maryland, and I'm just excited to preserve this historical building, which has a lot of significance not only in Kent County but nationwide, since it is one of two left standing in the nation.
That's right. The Grand Army of the Republic was a veterans organization that was formed and used by the returning Civil War veterans. It was interracial in that at that time of our nation's history, not that many things included both black and white members. The brave soldiers from the Civil War effort returned to Little Kent County here on the eastern shore of Maryland, and their bravery and their desire for full citizenship was essentially moved forward by their belonging to this highly respected Grand Army of the Republic, which was a veterans organization. They were able to build a hall where they held their meetings and held events for the community. And it has extreme historic significance. And one of the unique things about it is only one of two that are left standing in the United States. We're planning to restore it and create a community center, a museum, a place where people can come and study the history, and we have lots and lots of plans for it.
Okay. Ms. Raymond, maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit more about what this GAR is, the Grand Army of the Republic, and what the significance of that was to Civil War veterans. And this was for African-American veterans of the Civil War, correct?
Well, the Grand Army of the Republic was for all Union veterans, and the different posts were sometimes black and sometimes white, and sometimes they were each post could have been integrated as well. The Grand Army of the Republic was a incredibly powerful organization. After it was founded in the war was over in 1865, and this was founded in 1866, the next year. It was as important as today's American Legion. It was the absolute essence of comradeship, loyalty, fraternity, and charity were the two. Were there was the
like their motto.
The motto, yes.
Right. And now, like, did they help Civil War soldiers get pensions and get government benefits? They have government benefits back then, like the American Legion or the VFW of today.
That's right. And it was incredibly important. And it was especially important for the African-American veterans because even though they were now no longer enslaved people because of the war, because of winning the war, there were still, as you know, lots of problems of integrating everyone back into the society, and this really helped. This this veterans organization did help them get their pensions.
Now, this hall is in Chestertown, Maryland, and where is that? Say in relation to Baltimore, everybody may not know where Chestertown.
Okay, Joelle, you wanted to explain that a little bit?
Well, Chestertown is about 2 hours east of Baltimore on the eastern shore of Maryland, and it lies right on the water in Kent County. If that gives anybody any help at all.
Yeah, that tells me where it is, and I'm sure it tells most everybody that has any sense
right.
Of the east coast where that
the,
is.
The east, well, the eastern
east shore
is a very special place. It's actually sometimes called the Delmarva Peninsula because it's got the whole state of Delaware. It's got a little bit of Maryland, that's the Mar part, and it has a tiny bit of Virginia, the Va, Delmarva. It's a peninsula, and it's on the east coast of the Chesapeake Bay, which, when it was started to be called the Delmarva Peninsula, the Chesapeake Bay was one of the most important bodies of water in the United States. So it's now more rural and a little bit remote, and we're very proud of our beautiful community here.
Now, the name of this is the Charles Sumner Post of the Grand Army of the Republic. Tell the listeners a little bit about Charles Sumner. He was a very famous person in the Civil War.
That's right. He was a senator, a United States senator from Massachusetts, and he was an advocate of civil rights, and especially civil rights for the, at the time, enslaved when he started being a senator, until he died. He was always advocating for the rights of African Americans, abolitionists. And he, one of the famous episodes is that he was confronted for one of his stronger worded policies to give African Americans their rights. He was confronted by a senator from South Carolina and beaten with a cane. He was beaten so badly that his injuries stayed with him the rest of his life, and he took years to even recover from it. But he still maintained his position as an advocate for civil rights, and he is quite revered among the people who still feel strongly about all those issues. So this particular post was named after him.
You know, out here in the West, shall we say, I know we're not in California, but you guys were probably out west and along in Missouri and Kansas, and I live and I work right along the Kansas-Missouri border. Well, I read up a little bit on Charles Sumner, and he was arguing about whether Kansas could be a slave or a free state, and he wanted to make it a free state, or actually a territory at the time, and then become a free state, and that enraged people so much, the Southerners so much, that the one man just beat him almost to death. But it was particular interest to us out west here, Mr. Sumner.
Right, because of the episode about Kansas, and to imagine it today, it was on the floor of the Senate, so it was it pretty much indicates how completely how much turmoil there was at that time over this issue.
We talk about incivility in politics today as nothing compared to what it was like in, just before the Civil War.
That would have been a really good example of it, of the disconnect.
Really? Well, now, this building, what is the history of this? Now, what did it was a social center of the African American community in Chestertown, and was there a large number of African American men who fought out of Kent County?
Yes, there were quite a few. We understand that there were close to 400. There were close to 400 African Americans who left Kent County to serve in the Civil War. They were able to do this after the Emancipation Proclamation was declared, and were able to join forces with other existing militias, or there were some that were created just especially for them. So 400 out of our very small community would have been quite a few. Many of them were killed or injured in the battles. One of the famous battles that some of them fought in were the famous, and in fact, in our cemetery here in Little Kent County, one of the members who had fought in the Massachusetts 54th, which
right.
was made famous by the movie Glory,
yeah.
and which happened in South Carolina. So those battles were were fought by these really brave soldiers. As I said, 400 of them left Kent County,
right.
and some of them came back.
Yeah, kind of a historical perspective on this. Maryland was a slave state, but was in the Union, correct?
Yes, they call it a border state. And can you explain it more, Joelle?
Yeah, it was a border state in that it wasn't in the Union, nor was it on the Confederate side. And that so it did have slavery, but it also had a very large free black population, which continued to grow even as the war was going on.
Yeah, I believe Harriet Tubman went down in when she active down into Maryland and taking people up to Williamsville in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct. Chestertown, we were just trying to describe where it was. Well, one of the great famous things that it is close to is just two counties down is Dorchester County, and that is where Harriet Tubman was born and raised, and
okay.
where she led her people to freedom up through the Underground Railroad up into Philadelphia. And just one county away is Talbot County, where Frederick Douglass was born and raised.
That's what I thought. He was from Maryland. So,
mm-hmm. so we have we're very close to a tremendous amount of history. And what we want to do with this building is feature everything we can about that particular history. We also want to try to feature things that are closer to our own day and age, which includes some of the struggles for civil rights. We're going to try to have museum displays and have speakers and have the ability for people to come and do research right here in this area, which is just a wealth of information and historic events and places and people.
Now, and Joelle may be able to help you with this. There's a lot of red tape, shall we say, and research and care that has to go into preserving a historic building. Now, is this building on the National Register of Historic Places now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and so to preserve it, what kind of, I understand it takes a lot of money, and because you have to there's certain rules about preserving a building on the National Register of Historic Places. You can't just slap up some siding and throw in some new plumbing. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. Joelle, you want me to, or you want to talk about it?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. I will say that about 10 years ago, it was in total disrepair. It could easily have just crumbled before our very eyes. And a group of preservationists connected to Washington College were able to spot and remember and do the research that identified it as this incredibly significant place. There are some pictures, I believe, on the website. I wanted to be able to tell your listeners, and I know that on your website some of these pictures are posted, but if anyone wants more information, it's KentCountyArtsCouncil.org, and that will give you an example of what the place looked like. So it was just about to fall down. It would have just been completely vanished in our little town had a group of people not stepped in and saved it. They were able to preserve it up to a certain point. And at this point now, because we expect to have a national museum and a national center that people from all around the United States and indeed the world can come and understand the story, well, if you have that, you need to have everything completely restored the way it was before, with the colors analyzed, and archaeology has actually already taken place, studies. And then in addition to fixing it up the way it was, now we have to look at the new handicap access, the ADA rules and regulations, so that everyone will be able to be welcome and be able to access the building. So those things in the last, I guess, 30 or 40 years have changed the and added to the expense and effort to make this into something that everyone can enjoy.
Now, where did you find the nice photos you have of the building that you have on your website?
The collection of historic pictures were essentially, I got them from the library and other public domain places. The pictures of the history were gathered as the first steps of the preservation took place, and the also some historic, you know, we've been doing some oral histories of people who remember life and the times there in the building.
Oh, I bet.
And there's some great stories too, because the place, after it was a Civil War veterans hall, it then became a social hall, and I think that a lot of people have heard the story, but Ella Fitzgerald performed there along with Chick Webb. They took a steamboat over from Baltimore up the Chester River and played there. And just recently we heard a wonderful story. Miss Fletcher had remembered that the Sweethearts of Rhythm had arrived on a big bus. They were an all-girl big band, originally out of a orphanage in Piney Woods, Mississippi, that then became a world-renowned performers. And they, this memoir of remembering the bus driving up and like this whole huge big band coming and going into the building and ready to perform. So we have those lovely stories that we want to emphasize and celebrate.
Now, when you fix this up, and you've got these old photos, are you going to try to replicate what the original building looked like?
Yes.
Could you describe some of those, what the building looked like from those photos?
Okay.
They may not have the internet, or they may, you know, they might hear what it did look like.
Well, the building is a modest building. It's two stories. If you asked me the number of square feet, I don't think I would be able to just say what that was. But it's probably about 40 by 20 feet inside, one great big open room, and then upstairs another big open room with a stage. Originally was painted with red, white, and blue as the patriotic colors. We will be restoring the original colors. We will be restoring the original stage, once again, where Ella Fitzgerald performed. And it will serve as a museum with displays downstairs, and then upstairs it will be like a little theater or a meeting place and a small performance venue.
Okay, now you got pictures of soldiers. Where did you find those pictures of black soldiers? Were they pictures that they, like, when they meet and when they wear their uniforms and get their picture taken?
Well,
front?
We weren't able to find many pictures of the group that actually used the building. The ones that I have on the webpage were in the public domain in the library. They were just pictures of somebody else.
Black soldiers, African American soldiers, probably from
right
county. Okay. What about the names of the people and any of their families still around? Their ancestors still live in that area that were some of the original people that put that together, built
the
SKR Hall?
We're thrilled to be able to share the stories with the descendants of the returning soldiers. I would say that we've been able to locate at least 50% of some descendants of the soldiers. So it's very 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 important to the local community as well as the national community.
And one of them is actually one of my ancestors as well. So there's a personal connection here as well.
Joelle, one of your ancestors?
I have a relative who served in the Civil War from Kent County, John F. Butler.
Okay.
Who was also a member of the Grand Army of the Republic.
And
so there you have an eyewitness.
Right. That's kind of what I was looking for. And
yeah.
And so are there any, Joelle, are there any stories that were passed down in your family about, you know, what he did or where he served and what battles he was in? Was he down there with that, I can't think of the name of that battle in South Carolina.
Fort Wagner.
Fort Wagner. Was he in that battle? Do you have any stories about that, Joelle?
I don't have stories at the moment. I just found out recently that he was even in the war, so it's been a well-kept secret within the family. I do have more information about when he returned and settled in Butlertown. However, I don't have much on his participation in the war. I just know that he was a member of the U.S. Colored Troops as well as the Grand Army of the Republic Hall.
So this is one of the things we hope to do in the hall, is to encourage people to do research. We will be able to access the National Archive records, and we're continuing always to try to gather oral histories.
Now Joy, you grew up there, I guess, in the in that area, and are there other families around who are descendants of these original African American soldiers?
Yes,
do people
my
know
father's
each other?
Side is. I did not actually grow up in Kent County because my dad was in the military himself.
Oh, okay.
So I guess it runs in the family.
Yeah.
So I grew up around the world, but my roots are still there, and my father grew up there, and so I've learned through his side more about my history. And in doing so, I found out about John F. Butler. So, yeah, there's definitely a family connection there, and I have lots of family all over the county.
Now, there are some public records, and the National Archives have some pension records and things like that of those troops. Have you ever thought about, or do you know anybody that's gone back and researched the history of those troops out of Kent County? That's really amazing to have 400 troops out of a small area, I think.
Yes, we do have people who have done some of the research, and it's waiting to be displayed, and it's waiting for our beautiful building to have people come and just understand all of their history.
Yeah, that's important. It'll be nice to have a central location for people to come and know that's what that's all about. Maybe you can get hooked up with that. Ancestry.com has so many records that maybe you can have a connection to them or to the National Archives that people can come in and research right there. Now, in regards to the bringing it on into the modern day, we talked a little bit the other day, and it was part of a kind of a traveling circuit of entertainers that were would go to primarily African American communities and entertain, and it was a regular stop for all the big people like Ella Fitzgerald and that other group you named, I've already forgotten. Oh, the Sweethearts of Rhythm.
Uh-huh. They were actually part of the Chitlin' Circuit, as it was referred to as, I guess, the routes that performers of color would be able to actually go and perform. And so at this particular building, as Leslie said, there was the Sweethearts of Rhythm, there was Chuck Webb, there was Ella Fitzgerald, and outside of this building, there was James Brown even came to Kent County to perform at another location. But they were all a part of the Chitlin Circuit and traveled around the country performing.
Okay, what is the as you talk around the community, what is the reaction from people as they you're probably stirring up people to think back to their memories of their ancestors who fought, you know, for the Union troops and that some maybe that they haven't even thought of it for years, and like you said, Joe, you didn't even know about it for a long time, and so what's your reaction when you find out that these men and other maybe people in the community, what's their reaction being as they find out more about the stories of their ancestors and what they did during the war? Because so many men will fight in the war and come home and just never say another word about it, but yet
right.
People are afraid. They're afraid of them. I mean, they're proud of them and they want to know about that. What's been the reaction of people, and your own reaction, Joy?
From my personal experience, from finding out myself as well as from talking with people, it's been a very positive response. It's eye-opening. It gives people a chance to, like you said, go back and think about that time of history that they didn't even know they had a connection to directly. And so just like whenever you find out anything about your family, it's very exciting. It's new. Sometimes it can be painful if you find out some stories that aren't, you know, the best or
right,
you know, the brightest. But from just talking with people, it's been, I received a lot of positive responses, and just even about the building, they didn't even know that it existed. So even finding out that the building is still standing and it hasn't been demolished or anything like
really?
That, it's also very exciting. Been great.
Yeah. Is there any specific examples of stories that you've heard or that other people have shared about their ancestors that they're particularly proud of, that they know they've learned something about that, or any story that they're particularly caused a lot of pain that you can recount for our listeners?
Just from talking with them and beginning with the Civil War veterans, a lot of the stories that I've heard occur later on during Reconstruction and the Jim Crow Civil Rights era, and one person who comes to mind is Armand Fletcher, who is a community member as well, and he's always talking about the businesses that were owned in Kent County and how he had family connections to not only the JAR building, but also to the people who own those businesses in downtown, and unfortunately, those businesses are no longer in existence, and I mean, that's hard to hear. It's also surprising, especially for me, a young adult, to hear about all these businesses that were owned by people of color now that they're no longer there. So
right,
talking with him about what had happened after, you know, these veterans had returned and what some of them had started to build as, like, reputations for themselves, and then to hear that it no longer exists, it's heartbreaking, even for me, who doesn't have a direct descendant to the people who own these businesses, but the fact that they were Kent County community members, it's also a little heartbreaking, you know.
So this was this area was primarily African American, and has it changed any over the years? Is it still primarily African American community around?
Well,
where the
GAR building is located, it used to be known as Scott's Point, and that was a predominantly Black neighborhood. But King County itself is not a predominantly Black area, and
neighborhood itself. Were there like a particularly like a well-known Black doctor, a couple of Black lawyers, a Black pharmacist, Black professionals, as well as other people, like a clothing store that was like the center of the community there?
I'm sure that there were. As far as from my research I've been able to delve up, the GAR building was the center of the community. It was really the community center for Scott's Point, as well as other areas in Kent County. Like, this was the focal point for them. They turned to the people who ran the building for support, for entertainment, for social interaction, for even for some political issues and things of that sort. So the Grand Army of the Republic building was really the center,
of this
area. And we're trying to restore it so that it becomes that again, the way it was before.
Now, have you gone to use libraries and tell us a little bit about your research techniques?
Well, most of my research has been done through Washington College, as well as going through some of the resources that Leslie has been collecting with other community members over the years, and just going through and seeing the list of some of the soldiers, the articles that were written during that time, and also listening to people who actually know those stories, because I guarantee that most of the stories that are still out there we don't know of because they're just passed down as oral stories. So we're
right.
trying to just get in connection with people who may know someone, who may know someone else who has a story that needs to be heard and documented and put those down. So.
Yeah, I think you or Leslie once said you were doing some oral histories or recording some oral histories from a neighbor.
Yes, yes, we're working on that. We have some actually professional oral historians, and we also have an ability with a little radio station here in our county that once we get the stories, sometimes we're able to create some little radio shows that are broadcast out.
Oh,
but we plan to have to just expand our archive, so anybody who would be interested in A, collecting, or B, listening. It's an ongoing project. We work closely with the Kent County Historical Society, which also has that as a goal. We work with several other groups who are also trying to, really, we're all trying to pull together. It's a big community effort with different organizations who all seem to think this is a great idea.
Yeah, it sounds like you're building a lot of interest in the community and getting everybody on board with this thing and searching out their family histories. How have you seen this interest, people coming, volunteering, working, and then how do you get the word out about that?
Well, we have good old social media, such as we're experiencing right this minute, Gary.
Yeah.
We're very, very, there's nothing like getting the word out. It's much more easy than it used to be.
You have a Facebook page for the hall?
Yes, we have. The best thing I'd like to tell everyone is, like I think I mentioned before, but the website, it's the Kent County Arts Council. I'm the director of that, and because I've been working with people in various aspects of the community, it just seemed like the arts can pull people together. It's almost a stronger draw than anything else. I think people love the arts, people are proud of their artistic achievements, and the arts reflect the community, they reflect cultures. So by using that as a centerpiece, we've been able to pull from lots and lots of different organizations and different people and different things. So getting the word out with the Arts Council webpage, and then there's a Facebook page. We're also working right now with Washington College. We forgot to really mention that Washington College is a big presence in our little community. Joyelle is a recent graduate, and I graduated many decades ago. So we take advantage of this lovely campus and a wonderful resource for doing all kinds of research.
Is there any interest in writing a book about the activities around there, or the reconstruction effort, or anybody doing a film about it or anything like that?
We haven't had that yet. Joyelle, what do you think? You want to be the one that writes the book?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to.
Well, it's a pretty interesting story. And then, Leslie, like, what was your interest in it? Do you have a family interest in it or personal interest in this project?
Well, I do have a personal interest in it, and I think it's because I'm a devotee of history. I understand the power of knowing one's own history, and as I said, as far as the arts go, there's nothing like the fabulous, we have visual artists, gospel musicians, jazz musicians here that reflect the African-American community that are greatly admired, and I'm the biggest fan. So I would say that that's the thing that really got me, drew me in the first place, and now we're really working hard to make this building become a reality.
So what's your vision of it over the next 10 years, for example? Where do you want to be 5 years from now and then 10 years from now with this building?
Well, I would like it to be we would like to finish restoring it. As I said, at this point, we're calling it a cold, dark shell because it has been restored so that it's not going to fall down. But now we need to create the museum and the performance space inside and put the ADA access, landscape it, make it presentable and suitable for visitors. I would like to see it become a research center for anyone interested in African-American history, both the regional history, as we already mentioned, so rich with the Underground Railway close by, the Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass history and stories, and many other stories that aren't.
That's great. Well, Joelle, do you have any different view of anything you'd like to add to what you'd like to see there 5 years, 10 years from now?
I would just like to be able to walk down a street in Chestertown, Ashland, about the Grand Army of the Republic building and have them know what I'm talking about. I would really like just for the building to become more of the focal point that it was before, because it has so much to offer. And like Leslie said, we're working to reconstruct it because that is the most important thing right now. And once it is a museum and an entertainment space, I really like for everyone to utilize it so that they are not only aware of the history, but also the fact of how it's working now as a contemporary building and how it's working for them. So I really like everyone in King County and the surrounding counties to form an attachment with it, whether they have family who were Civil War veterans or not, just for the community to become one with the building. That's what I would like
now,
to say.
Now, where have you been getting help from? Name off, I know you've got individuals on your webpage. You can download a pledge sheet and donate through PayPal, it looks like. Where else have you been getting money from to do this? I know this is a very expensive project.
We have just been the recipient of a wonderful grant from it's called
Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development Legacy Program.
The Legacy Program. And that was a generous grant, and one of the things we need to do now is raise enough money to match the grant. Of course, when you do win a grant, you have to work hard to get the match from private sources. We've had generous members of the community. We have a couple of other private foundation grants that we've applied for, and we're hoping to be able to use those as a match.
Now you say generous donations from the community. Now, is that just from the African-American community, or is this a joint effort between the white community and the African-American community in that area?
I'd say that it was definitely a joint effort, yes.
So a little different than relationships are a little different today than they were when they first built the Grand Army of the Republic building for African-American troops only, sounds like.
I'm afraid that when that was built in 1908, there were many of the Jim Crow laws were still in existence, and that's gradually going away. I guess everyone would say that, you know, they haven't completely gone away, and there's still some issues, but in our community, it seems that there's a lot of strength in the integration of both black and white. Joelle, what would you say about that?
I would agree, because I think people in King County realize that united we stand, divided we fall type of a thing. And although we can't change history, we can learn from it. And I think everyone really does want to learn from it. There's just so much about the building itself and the people who built it and the people who used it. There's just so much rich history and heritage there that I think everyone is just on board, no matter what color they are.
that I understand that on the Gift of Freedom website, she has a photo of an integrated Grand Army of the Republic post. And so I guess they weren't all segregated. Some of them were integrated.
It's true. Throughout the United States, the organization as a whole accepted both black and white. Most of the times, each post had its own identity, but not always. At some point, a different post might be black and white.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Men that go through like war together like that, probably some of those barriers were broken down for some of them.
There are lots and lots of things that can be read that are eyewitness accounts for exactly that, how there was a tenuous or a disconnect, and then once in battle, it was proven that the African Americans were fierce fighters and incredibly wonderful soldiers.
Right. That's what we found out here along the Western
mm-hmm.
frontier with
yeah.
Our black troops. The white troops wouldn't even fight with them or didn't want to have anything to do with them until the first battle, and then all of a sudden it was okay, and then they started fighting side by side, basically, or unit by unit. They were still segregated by units.
Mm-hmm.
This legacy of the Civil War and the Grand Army of the Republic and African Americans fighting for the country, it's just it's really been an interesting journey, I think, for you guys, and you've done a lot for the community in that area, and I know all the listeners out there and myself, I salute you for doing this.
Well, we want you to come all the way from Kansas to Chestertown.
I have some relatives in Boston. That's not too far away, and we're talking about going there probably next fall. Maybe I can slip down to the Eastern Shore, as you call it, and see this. It is interesting.
Well,
we'd love to show
I want
it off.
To thank everyone for coming in and talking and joining us.
All right.
Can you hear me, guys?
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make this point that I think the GAR is a great place, and I think that we should make sure that these institutions that celebrated integration should be taught and included in our history books. I think it's left out, and it's left out intentionally. So I appreciate you bringing it up and mentioning it, and I thank you, Joy, for being part of the show. And you too, Leslie.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great night.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Good night.
Hello? Hello?